Really happy to have with us right now Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com, one of the top NFL writers in this country and a great friend. Pete, welcome back to the show.
What's up, Dick? How are you?
I'm doing well, my buddy. Well, a lot of stuff going on, obviously, regarding the bounty case and a lot of news that came out of New York yesterday with the fact that the suspensions of these players from the Saints or in some cases former Saints like Scott Fujita, who now plays for the Browns, that their appeals have been denied and that the suspensions are holding up, but certainly not happy, these players, and what a shock here, not happy with the way the league has handled this stuff and have talked about it and saying the commissioner being judge and jury just doesn't make it a fair process. Where do you come down on this?
Well, I mean, let's be real about it. And Scott Fujita, who's on the executive committee, should know this as well as anybody. Is, you know, when you guys gave him the power to be judge, jury, and executioner, you signed off on it. So if you're going to sign off on it, then don't complain about it when you don't like his rulings. Now, having said all that, where's the evidence? I mean, if there is indeed evidence, show it to me. Give it to me. I want to see it. If I'm a player, I want to see it. If you have proof that Scott Fujita was involved in those, show it to him. If you have proof that Vilma was involved in it, show it to him. Now, there is some evidence. It seems, you know, maybe not concrete evidence from what you read and what you hear, and I haven't seen it. But if there's definite concrete evidence, then show it to the players and say, look, this is why you're being suspended. Don't just throw a blanket over it. As far as the organization, they deserve what they're getting because there was obviously problems there and there was obviously things going on, and Greg Williams kind of fessed up to it, and there's, you know, you hear audio of it. But as far as the individual players, I think they have a right to see the evidence.
And here's the thing about the evidence. The league had about a dozen reporters, national reporters, and I think maybe a New Orleans reporter was among them, in New York covering the story, and then brought them into the league office for an impromptu revealing of the evidence. And according to the reports we've seen from those who saw it at the league office, those reporters said it was compelling stuff. Does that change anything?
Well, I mean, individually, I don't think it does. I mean, if you have something on Vilma that says he was a ringleader standing up saying, hey, I'm going to take $5,000 out of my pocket, and if you take somebody out, then that's one thing. If you have him following direct orders from the coach to do so, then that's another thing. So I think there's a fine line there. And you know, I Jonathan Vilma's reputation has been slammed all over the place. So if I'm him, I'm trying to clean it up as well. And so I think that's what these players are trying to do. But as far as judge, jury, and executioner, I mean, let's be real about it. They bargained for that. That was something that their leader, DeMar Smith, signed off on, and they all agreed to it. Scott Fujita should know better than that.
Yeah, and you're hearing from other people. Eric Winston, of course, he plays for the Chiefs now, formerly the Houston Texans. He was saying that there was some regret among players, giving the, quote, absolute power to the commissioner. But it is a negotiation. You're going back and forth on some things. Again, that's an item that was given up. So you're right. You live with whatever the results are.
Yeah, and I think down the road they're going to open this, you know, I know the CBA can open it up back up again and renegotiate part of it, I think. What they'll do is they'll throw that back out there. And we know what Roger wants. Roger wants 18 games, and he'll say, okay, you know what, I'll take away some of my power and give you the 18 games. I think you might see that down the road.
Yeah, that will be a very interesting development as we go forward with this. And is there another shoe to drop, Pete, as this goes forward? I know the players have had their say. Everybody has, most everybody, I guess, has made some statement or another. But is there anything else that you see developing in this in the coming either days, weeks, or months?
I don't think so. I think, you know, all the parties, the main parties, have all been disciplined. I think Greg Williams has been disciplined. I think the team has been disciplined. I think Sean Payton's been disciplined. The only other one that might be disciplined is Joe Vitt, even a little more. But when you start hearing little bits and pieces about him, and I always joke around, I said replacing Sean Payton with Joe Vitt is like putting Sammy the Bull Gravano in charge after John Gotti got sent to prison. I mean, it just didn't make any sense. So, I think what you're seeing, and I still think there's a potential to have some of those sentences slashed a little bit. I do. I call them sentences because they're handed down by the judge in New York in the main office over there. But I think, you know, Vilma, for, you know, his is a little harsh, I think. You know, whatever the case may be, I think his is a little harsh.
Yeah, his losing a whole season at this stage of his career is taking away a lot. And again, you know, I know the whole idea here is to make sure this never happens again, or discourages heavily everybody else from even thinking about doing this. And maybe it'll have that effect, maybe it won't. But that's certainly, someone is paying a real price for the entire league.
The other thing about Vilma is he might want to have to, you know, he's not going to make any money this year. But again, the way he played last year, he might have to give back some money. He wasn't very good last year. And they replaced him. They've moved on. That's the cruel reality of the National Football League, is they're all replaceable. I mean, it's the same thing in life, but I mean, particularly in the NFL. They've moved on. They went and got Curtis Lofton. He's a better player than Jonathan Vilma. They've moved on.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. We're talking with Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Pete, the subject of player safety continues to be a hot one, related, of course, to the whole bounty thing, but also beyond that, the concussions and so forth. Aaron Rodgers made an interesting comment on a recent panel discussion, and he said there really isn't much more he could see the league doing to make the game safer. He referenced having a helmet that he wore in 2005 when he first came into the league compared to what he was wearing now, and he said even in those five or so seasons, the equipment is better, that the constant efforts through technology to make it a safer game and equipment is having a positive effect. But do you agree with that, and do you think the persistence of trying to make it a safer game and when it comes to legislation of hits risks making it a game we won't recognize?
No. I think they got to be real careful on it, though. And you know, some of the biggest hits in the National Football League and the most dangerous hits are ones that people don't even pay attention to. And I'll give you an example. I actually did a story where I talked to a bunch of NFL safeties last year at the Combine and some other guys I knew and some of the safeties who were there. And the gist of the story is the collision in the hole between safety and running back might be the most violent collision that there is, and nobody pays attention to it. Nobody. All we ever talk about is the collision between a defensive back and a wide receiver, or a quarterback and a defensive lineman. You don't talk about the one in the hole. And the reason being, there's no penalty for it. There's nothing. It's just a guy with a running start coming from center field to blast a guy who's got a running start. He might lower his head. And your head-to-head collision, you're going to happen 9 times out of 10 in that situation. So, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can legislate the danger out of it, but there's also a lot of ways you can do nothing. Now, one thing, and I've suggested this in the past, and people looked at me and thought I was crazy, is take the face mask off the helmet. You say, well, what about getting hit to the face? Hey, a lot of guys would take a shot to get a cut in the face before they take a concussion, And so you look back at the old tapes way back in the day when they didn't have the face mask. They tackled. They didn't hit. They right. tackled. They rapped. It was like a rugby game. And now the game, you know, you talk about the equipment. The equipment has allowed the game to evolve to be as violent as it is, because that helmet, as safe as it becomes for the guy who's getting the blow, has also become a weapon for the guy giving the blow. So I think you got to be real careful with the equipment.
You had a chance recently to go out to Denver, I think it was last week, for the Broncos minicamp to take a good look at Peyton Manning and the progress he's making coming back from, of course, that shoulder injury. Where do you see his status, his development, and how good do you think Peyton Manning is going to be for the Broncos in 2012?
Well, the thing with him is, you know, over the years he's had some injuries, and you know, when the strength and conditioning coach told him to do 10 reps, he'd do 15. I mean, that's just who he is. But with this injury, he couldn't do that. And that was frustrating to him. He had to be very patient. It wasn't the kind of injury, if you do more reps, it's going to make it better. You had to slowly allow the nerve to regenerate so you got the strength back in the arm. And from what I saw, when I walked up in the practice field, I saw him. It was weird seeing him in that jersey, but it was just, you saw the same guy. But then you noticed, and he even said this, I talked to him for a long time, he even said this, he said, you know, one of the things that he has to be aware of is the fact that he might be able to make that deep throw 3 times, but maybe with pressure around him when his body's contorted, he might not be able to make it the 4th time. So that hasn't come yet. He's not 100%. The casual eye, you might not see that, but he knows he's not. And I think there's some frustration there. But I also told him this, and he's come to the realization of this too. Look, you're 36 years old. even if you don't have the injury, you're not going to be able to do things you did when you were 25. I mean, just the bottom line is age is starting to creep in there. And we all like to think we're still 19 years old, but we're not. Our bodies tell us differently, and his is no different. So he's got to understand that some of it is age, some of it is injury, and you're never going to be the same Peyton Manning you were when you were 25. It's just impossible.
Yeah, and I said shoulder, I meant neck, but I guess it's all relative to his ability to throw the football. And yeah, it would be understandable to see a little bit less of him, but at the same time, when you look at the Broncos and what they seem to be banking on and how much attention this is going to get, Pete, we both know that there won't be a lot of room given for the very point you just made. People won't be like, well, he is an older guy. Well, he is coming off this injury. When you're making this splash, I guess the expectations are going to be very high. I don't know that there's any way he loses in this necessarily, but you, with the pride that he has, you know he can't go out there wanting to be anything less than at least as maybe not Peyton in his prime, but pretty darn close.
Well, and one of the things I said to him, I said, it has to drive you crazy when people say 80% of Peyton Manning is better than most quarterbacks in the National Football League, because you know him, Vic. That's not who he is. He wants 100% of Peyton Manning.
Right.
He's not gonna settle for not being as good as he was. And you know, watching him on the practice field, you know, the Wednesday I was there, or Tuesday I watched him on the practice field, and he was okay. The arm strength was there. I don't know where people are saying that the arm strength isn't there. It's just a matter of can he do it over and over again. But then the other thing is, you know, the next day he was fantastic in the two-minute drill throwing deep balls. I mean, so he looked like the same Peyton Manning to me, and I think he's going to have a big year. I really do.
Pete, you do this all, I guess, annually, but you when you do it, it gets a lot of attention, and I love it because it's great fodder for conversation. And that is your all overrated and underrated lists. And you do the entire league with regard to each team's most overrated and underrated player. Then you do an overall. Let's talk, first of all, from a team standpoint, and we might as well get right to it. What do you have for the Browns on the overrated, underrated?
I put, you know, it's one thing about the overrated players and on teams that don't have a lot of star players, it's hard to pick them, you know? And so the Browns, when you look at them on paper, it's hard to pick an overrated player. It really is. Not to say they don't have some good young players, but I don't think those good young players are getting rated yet. So
right.
It was tough to pick an overrated player. So I picked Scott Fajita. I just like guys who can run at that linebacker position. I think he's a solid player, but I think, you know, he doesn't run that well. And in this league nowadays, if you don't run, you're going to get exposed. So I picked him for the overrated player. And as far as the underrated player, last year I picked Ruben, and I think he's a darn good player. I really do. I'm impressed with him. He's one of the guys that I kept my eye on all year, and I really like the way he plays. He plays hard. He's a tough guy, and I think they're really going to be good inside with him and Taylor in there. But I went with T.J. Ward, and I think he's one of those young safeties that this league needs. You know, we talk about Polamalu, and we talk about Reed. There seems to be a gap there with the good young safeties. I think he's got a possibility to fill it.
Yeah, coming back from that injury that kept him out for more than half of last season, so he's definitely determined to get back on the radar in a big, big way. And, of course, Phil Taylor out for at least half of this season. We'll see how that works out with the torn pec that he suffered. But when he's back there, and it'll be even more pressure on Atuba Ruben to help out the younger people that'll line up next to him, like John Hughes and so forth, who were drafted. Overall in the league, who is your most overrated, underrated players?
The most overrated player, the most underrated player was Ray McDonald from the 49ers. I really like him. A lot of, you know, you look at Justin Smith on one side. And Justin Smith plays hard. He's a darn good football player. But when you look at McDonald on the other side, he does so many of the same things that Smith does, and he just doesn't get the attention he deserves. So I picked McDonald as the most underrated player. My most overrated player was Ndamukong Suh. And people will say, really? And if you go back and watch his tapes from a year ago, he was blocked. And what he's got to learn how to do, he was fantastic as a rookie getting up the field with his quickness. But last year, teams used that against him. They just took him where he was going. They used it against him. They trapped him. They wham blocked him. They pushed him where he went. And he wasn't quite as good a year ago, so I made him the most overrated player.
Interesting stuff, as always. Pete, great to catch up with you, and we look forward to talking with you again down the line, buddy.
You got it. All right, Vic, take care.
He is Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.